All right, so tonight's teaching is going to be, which Jesus are you referring to?
Go on, I'm turning these lights off.
Okay. And my father's prophecy is right on with it, too. We can't set people free with traditions or rules. And I went to go set a scripture for my daily reading. And it was, I posted something in Psalms, an accurate translation. I said, the young woman said, I don't want an accurate translator, as she wandered the streets of Afghanistan. I want a translator to tell me what everybody says. Is that what you'd want? And there's a roaring lion out there. Is that what you want? If we look at that, there's a roaring lion. And I was even during the prophecies, I was thinking, in my own house, I'm armed to the T. Somebody comes in this house, I'll be exercising, I'll be getting tested. They'll have their shot, but then they'll be shot if they don't surrender. And if somebody did break into my house, is that justifiable for me to come down? Right. What if somebody busted in the front door, and then I found out that the reason of their panic is that their wife is dying in the front yard? Would that change the situation, the circumstance? It could be. And what was being communicated through a word of knowledge and wisdom is that there's people in our lives that are panicking, and their behavior does not make sense, and it looks like they're assaulting you. They're not assaulting you. Their house is on fire. Their family is sinking and drowning spiritually, and they are doing things, kicking in your. What did you do? You didn't do anything wrong. It has nothing to do with you. It's about their panic and their own thing, and whether they go to Yahweh and Christ. That's not between you and them. But every once in a while, your doors need to get kicked in. And that's where we got to be okay. Is it justifiable? If somebody's wife was dying, that'd be justifiable. But actually, I would help them, right? So it's just a thought. Before I get started, I haven't got to hear prophecies this week. My dad and I have not been on the same schedule. And I've been drying out. David and Kenya sent me a bunch of wonderful testimonies. And one of them, you know what it was? They're going to have another baby.
Oh.
Why is that so important? Because I gave a prophecy probably 10 years ago. Actually, I led Vana into prophecy, the pastor of the orphanage. Vana prophesies, and he first tells David, you're going to, I don't remember what he said, but then David goes, that's it! That's confirmation, we're going to build the church in Kitgala. How important is that? Where does David live now? Kitgala, right? But then before we left, we gathered together to have manifestations like we're doing right now. And Vana, let's go Vana. And you know what Vana did? He got right in front of David and Carol, did not know their background, did not know about issues they had in their life. I did. You guys ever had that where somebody starts praying for somebody's problem? You're like, I don't know if that's a good one. You better know what you're talking about, right? Your good intentions could crush somebody if you're wrong. But Vana didn't. Oh, ooh, we got so fired up. Ooh, and I blessed their children. I blessed their children. I went, children. And then I'm looking, and Carol starts weeping, faucets. And then what? Either he really missed it, or he. And I'm looking at this going, and then you and Yahweh did. It was a shove in the back. Get down on your knees. And I went, you're going to have children. Children. Not one. You already had one. And boom. Just snot and tears everywhere. I'm humbled. Oh, I look so still. My face be all puffy. I just got my face on. I don't want to look like that. But he did. And I got out of the way. And that was probably 10 years ago. And he said, you're one of the first people they're going to hear. Carol's pregnant! It was the prophecy. Isn't that neat? Covet to prophesy. So anyways, that's not the teaching. The teaching tonight is, which Jesus are you referring to? Good way to witness. And we'll see how well this goes. I'm not a PowerPoint person. I've probably done this 10 times. And I've never actually learned how to do it. Really neat looking guy, Steph Curry. After every single basket, he points up. never seen him cuss, never seen him fight. He doesn't look like a gangster. Doesn't look like somebody raising people as a bad, like a Dennis Rodman or the arrogant LeBron James who just he worships himself. He glows. He appears an angel of light. Here's Steph Curry. And in Jesus' name I play. And I watch, and actually I used to watch him going, and I would catch myself waiting for him to miss it. And he was so consistent on giving Jesus the glory that I caught myself going, oh, he did it again. I'm like, what a good example. Mm-hmm. That I want people to look at me to go, is he really going to pray? Or is he going to prophesy? It says covet the prophet, but are they actually going to do it at fellowship? And so I went and I bought his hoodie. It was not cheap. In Jesus' name I pray. Play, excuse me. And here's this guy. Here's this role model. And we're going to take a look at Steph Curry's Jesus. Because what I did not know is that Steph Curry's Jesus is not my Jesus. And I was shocked. Because this guy manifests light. But when I found out that he refused to go see Donald Trump in the White House, I thought it's got to be because politics. He just doesn't want to offend anybody. That's what I thought. You know, a tree bites fruit. Here's this guy. He looks great. He looks really good. Joel Osteen on the court. Is the Jesus we're talking about partial birth Jesus? Partial birth abortion? You guys see this? Mm-hmm. This is where... Look at this. But look. They deliver it backwards so they can snip its neck, because if it breathes, it's a human. The other pictures that I did not go into is dismembering. Cutting a baby that's inside the womb, could be delivered, then cutting its body parts off and then vacuuming it out. Is that the Jesus you talk about? Partial birth, abortion Jesus? That's Steph's Jesus. Partial birth, abortion Jesus. Is your Jesus transvestite Jesus? These are children with transvestites. Why in the world would a transvestite want to be with children? Ask Sodom and Gomorrah. Every sin is outside the body except for sexual immorality. Remember that. Not every sin is equal. Sexual immorality, flee. Idolatry, flee. Those are the two that I know of. Don't tolerate. Why does Steph Curry's Jesus is a transvestite Jesus? Did you guys know that? I didn't know that. His Jesus likes transvestites, Melania. His Jesus likes partial birth abortions. Steph Curry's Jesus likes pedophiles. You know what a pedophile is? It's a person who wants to have sex with children. This pedophile is so bad, he doesn't even do it in secret. This is in front of all the cameras. His name's Joe Biden. Look at these poor children. I don't know if I can zoom in or not. No? No? Maybe. Can you imagine Jesus Christ watching these children? I think, look at this little girl by the word pee. It's a monster. Steph Curry's Jesus loves this pedophile. Well, how could you say that? How in the world? Steph Curry's a good guy. Biden sniffs kids. Can you imagine what he does in secret? Somebody read that aloud. The dark bold print. What's it say?
Saban Curry's endorsement of Joe Biden, a natural step in NBA star's political progression.
This is Steph Curry. It's Jesus. Is that your Jesus? What Jesus are we talking about? We're going to find out that his Jesus, that's not mine. Okay, and so which Jesus are you referring to? And we should actually, this should be something in your pocket. What does that mean? I forgot to say this. This should have been at the very beginning. You have, Google, can you pray to Jesus, teleosministries.com. Or can you pray to Jesus, Telios Ministries? You have to have this for this teaching. Okay. So, can you pray to Jesus, Telios Ministries.com. Okay. And the name is going to be the sacred name, how Jesus became Yahweh. You have to read this. Because in the paper, it's all laid out. Scripture, 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 scripture. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. And actually, you know, what you start finding out is that when you read the scriptures, marinate in the scriptures, you start finding out, hey, this Jesus Christ that I used to think I knew, he's not the same as the one I know now. I used to think of him as a pacifist, kind of a hippie guy, nice to everybody. But then you start finding out who this guy is, and he's not that one. That could be one of his attributes. And I think about that, I can't listen. It's hard for me to listen to Newsboys. I care too much about Jesus Christ than to hear blasphemy. If somebody wrote a song about my mom, it was factually incorrect, it would insult me. I don't care what the melody is. So I tried it. Third day, I can't listen to it anymore. Why? Because he's singing about somebody I know through the scriptures, and it's not him. I don't care what the melody is. It's sort of going to go, all of a sudden I started getting haunted, and I'm like, I got to get rid of another song. Really, Aaron? That's how much you care about me? You're complaining about getting rid of Third Day? I thought you cared about me. Right? If you guys heard somebody saying that Aaron hates children, would you speak up? Mm-hmm. Or Aaron never talks? Yeah, right. Okay, if somebody read Exodus chapter 32, 1 through 2.
And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mouth, people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make for us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what hath befallen him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me.
Verse 3, and all the people of themselves break off the rings of gold. You know who Moses is? Moses is the Rotherham Bible. People don't want the Rotherham. And I was even one of the guys I'm mentoring. He's never read anything I've given, as far as I know. Come explain the book of Revelation, then he goes, did you get that from the Rotherham? Did you ever read the book I give you? Rotherham doesn't do doctrine. It's just, here's the scripture, here's the word. We've never read any of it. I'm looking at him going to go, it's not my life, it's his life. But Rotherham tells you what the word says. That's Moses. What does Aaron do? He's going to tell you what he wanted. I got to keep things together. We got to give a translation or interpretation. We got to really water stuff down. What do people want to hear? And so you want to know what Moses is? It's the Rotherham. And then I would say, Young's literal would be Aaron. The message in this other garbage blasphemies. Going to go, they'll be held accountable, but you who bow down to golden calves, anyways, I'm like, I don't even want to see any of those names. But in verse 3, all the people themselves break off the rings of gold which were in their ears and brought them into Aaron. Give us a translation! Give us an easy translation that any of us can read where we don't have to really focus. Not this Moses translation, so difficult to these and thous. Besides, I got to go back to the physicist's laboratory. Oh, you can't read a thee and thou and you're going to be a physicist. But anyways, and he received the gold in their hand and fastened it with their graving tool and made it a golden calf. And what did he say? These are thy gods, O Israel, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Here's your new translation. Message Bible, Passion. We don't need another translation. We have the most accurate there is. For anybody to come with another translation, do you know why they're doing it? Gods of gold. Calves? No. You want to get popular? Third Day, you want to get popular? Tell people what they want to hear. Newsboys, you want to get popular? It's not about accuracy. It's about sales. The difficulty with Christian businessmen like that is they will be held accountable. You're going to make money off of seeing things incorrectly. About what subject? NASCAR. No problem. About the creator of the universe? Very bad. And Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said a festival to who?
Yahweh.
Was it Yahweh?
No.
That gold, don't say it's not Yahweh. That golden calf right there, that's Yahweh. Steph Curry, Jesus' name. Which Jesus are we talking about? Don't you blaspheme Steph Curry. He loves Jesus. Which Jesus are you talking about? Because Steph Curry's Jesus is a sodomite. Steph Curry's Jesus has transvestite. Steph Curry's Jesus has a president who's a pedophile. Is that your Jesus? It's not. It is an image of a different Jesus Christ. Same way that Aaron, through the pressure, says, this is the Yahweh. What do you have? We have three gods now. Two golden calves. And then we turn to Exodus chapter 20. You got to give them a translation they want. You got to change the music here, Pastor. Look at these pews. They're empty. Look at Aaron's house. There's 10 people there, 5 people there. Obviously, he's doing something wrong. Obviously, it's a cult.
I'm sorry, Exodus what?
Chapter 20, 1 through 4. Actually, verse 4. And Elohim spoke all these things, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, who hath brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of the servants. I had a guy I was witness to, a mentoring. And he was mocking churches. For good reason. And I said, so where do you go? Guess where he goes? Mega church. And I go, Jesus Christ went to, I heard this, this was neat, David said this. He goes, the account of Jesus Christ going to Nicodemus is the account. How many people? One. Right after that, the woman at the well, the woman at the fountain? One. It's not about the multitude. And he went, but if you have churches, don't they call that cults? Or in a house? He started freaking out. I don't want to be called a cult. Apparently, somebody's called me a cult. And it freaks him out. I'm like, okay. What else they got to call? They call it Jesus Christ Beelzebub. If you're not being called something, you're probably not doing your job. But what did it say? Thou shalt not make an image, verse 4. Or any form that is in the heavens above. Yahweh said, there is no image of me. You don't make anything. No images. What did Aaron do? He made two images. And if it was not for Moses, Aaron would have been put to death. It's a death penalty. Moses interceded, and so here's Moses. There is no way to Yahweh except through Moses, because Yahweh came to Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses laid on his face for 40 days for these people. None of those people, including Joshua, Caleb, would have even existed if it wasn't for Moses. How many ways was there to Moses or Yahweh? There was one way. It was through Moses. And we know that Moses said at the end of his ministry, another prophet's coming. Another one's coming. And there's only one way to Yahweh then. But Aaron made a golden calf. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You want to see what somebody's made of? Seriously. If you talk to a pastor, talk about the Democrats loud. If they start doing this, you're going to go, I need to talk to you about something. What? We don't have to do it here. We just, okay, good. Where are we going to go? He's called an orthopedic surgeon. Yeah? Why do I do that? You need a backbone, man. Don't talk about the Philistines. They'll attack you. Oh, don't talk about, don't you know they're the lords of us? But if you can talk to a pastor, you say something about Democrats in front of them, they start cowering, you're going to go, we got to help you with your backbone, man. You want some help? And you know what? If you do it in a loving way, when we reprove people, it should be esteeming them higher than ourselves. Maybe not the way I just said it. But if they turn you down, so what? But at least you planted the seed. Mm-hmm. You could have stood up, this person would have helped you do it. Well, I'll lose my congregation, or I'll lose this. Chapter 11, let me see, 188. This is... And in chapter 11, what else is in this verse 12? It talks about what does Jesus Christ look like? It doesn't look like that transvestite molesting those little kids. Shame on those parents. What does he look like? An angel of light. That's what, we're not going to go there. But in verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself to transfigure himself into a messenger of light. What's the context of this chapter, guys? 11 verse 1, I could wish you... Bear witness. I'm gonna go down to verse 3. But I feared least by any means as the serpent completely deceived Eve. Rotherham's the only one I know that says completely deceived. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody who was completely deceived? Is it an easy argument? No, that's hot. Rotherham's the only one show that you check it out, it's completely deceived. In your craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the singleness of the chasteness which is due in the Christ. For indeed, he that cometh is proclaiming, what? Another Jesus. The book of Galatians was approximately, I didn't have them verified, it's about 49 AD, 50 AD. 1 Corinthians, probably around the same time. How long is this after Christ? Christ probably went to sleep in like 38 AD, 37 AD. Not that long afterwards, right? How long did it take Moses, Aaron, to build another Yahweh?
40 days.
40 days. Why? We'll go there in a second. But there's another Jesus in Apostle Paul's time. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. So Aaron built three gods. We got an invisible god. Then we got these two images here. These two calves. What did he build? A hybrid faith. My father coined that phrase. A hybrid faith. Because when they turn their back on Yahweh, no! But fornication and coveting your neighbor's goods, it's okay. It's not that bad. Just don't talk about it, right? I love reading Psalms. I read this. It says, does the maker of the eye not see? Can you imagine how many closet Republicans were in the Democrat South before the Civil War broke out? That saw Abraham Lincoln, what he was doing, and they said, shh, right? I can understand that. And that's most Christians today. They won't say anything about a persecutor. Who's the persecutor? Satan. Where is he? He's out the pews, man. Well, how could you say it? That's the reason why your pastor won't say anything against him. They'll attack him. I challenge it. I hope that's not the case. But Jesus, there is another Jesus. Just, and what is it? What are we looking at? It's the same serpent. Remember that it starts off the serpent completely deceived Eve. What did he do with the Ahuron? Give them what they want, man. We just got to keep the family together. You ever had that? We just got to keep people together. It's getting thin, right? No. Don't keep things together. Keep you and Yahweh together and those that are with you. Say, get in this ark. Because judgment's coming to those who reject Yahweh. And then later on in the same chapter, this Satan is an angel of light. Steph Curry is an angel of light. He looks like the real deal until I saw his fruit. I couldn't believe it. Sodomites, transvestites, and you read. Steph Curry is not just a Democrat. He campaigned for Joe Biden. Are you kidding me? Holy moly, who is this guy? But it's not our Jesus. And we could say that, well, he's a Christian. No, that's not my Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Scriptures. Why? Because Jesus is not a pedophile. Jesus doesn't hang out with sodomites. He doesn't do partial birth abortions. Your Jesus does. It's not the same one. They're going to say it's the same, but it's not. And this right down here, another Jesus, just like the images that Ahuron made, that was not Yahweh. Well, yeah, it is Yahweh. We love Yahweh. That is not Yahweh. You don't make an image of Yahweh. Nobody makes an image of the Creator. Now, the neat thing, what really inspired this teaching, not inspired this teaching, something that really inspired me, was a really neat Catholic guy. He's a Catholic that will talk. He actually knows Catholicism. Most Catholics I know, they don't know what they believe. I got to go to a priest. Don't talk to me. Talk to the priest. He'll tell you, he's my compliance officer. He tells you what I can say, can't say. This guy's a real Catholic. He reads it, this and this and that. He'd seen me and Izzy praying years ago, 15 years ago, and he goes, you guys are the real thing. I gave him a prophecy in the middle of the gym. This is not too long ago. And he looks at me, you know his name. Well, I better not say his name. You know him. And after I gave him a prophecy in the middle of the gym, not because I wanted to, not because I felt comfortable. I'm looking for my wife. Is that how you meet chicks in the gym? Thus saith Yahweh! Always say the Yahweh word. That's not how you meet girls, man. Dude, you got to calm down. Anyway, I got to be obedient. I gave him a prophecy. He looks at me, not teary eyes, and he said, you know, some people say Catholics aren't Christians. Usually, in my experience, I'll ask if a Catholic's a Christian. They say, no, I'm a Catholic. And he goes, why do Protestants say Catholics aren't Christians? And I said, they don't know what they're talking about. If there's one way, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, if he's your blah, 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 kind of went into it. And he said, I get into the debates with people, and this guy, he might be a Nicodemus. He has what he wants, but at least he would talk. And he said, this guy's making fun of me at work, making fun of me because I pray to Mary, and the guy goes, what the heck's up with this Hail Mary and Our Father in Heaven? And you know what the Catholic said back to him? I'm quoting scripture. I'm quoting Luke 1:28, Hail Mary. Our Father in Heaven, Matthew 6:12. What do you have a problem with quoting scripture? And I was like, I have never heard a Catholic say that this was quoting scripture. And it was news to me. Now it is. And then he said this and this and that. He goes, what's wrong? Mary's the mother of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And I don't understand. And then he talked, and I said, you're right about this, about the scriptures. We should pray scriptures and stuff. And I'm walking tenderly. And then I was able to say, you guys flipped to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I said, just so you know for your own record, you need to know something. I care about you. He goes, yeah? I go, you need to know about a scripture, though. He goes, what scripture is it? And I pulled out my phone, 2 Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy 2:5. Thank you. Galatians 3:2. Does anybody know that? For a mediator cannot be a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. What's that mean? A mediator brings two things together. If you ever had to go to court, you have a mediator. They're going to bring two parties together. Here's what we got to do. They're reconciling two different things. That's a mediator. Galatians 3:2, you can't have a mediator of one. Yahweh is one. He needs a mediator. Who was the mediator during Aaron's time? Moses. There's one mediator. I got one man. And so then 1 Timothy, I said, let's read the scripture. And he reads, and he says, for there is one God, would be Yahweh, one mediator also between God and man, a man, Jesus Christ. And he goes, what's that supposed to mean? He goes, well, the Catholic Church believes that Mary's the mediator, and you have to go through Mary. The scripture says Jesus Christ is the mediator. And he was like, okay, maybe I need to think about that. And it wasn't even, as we're talking about that, and he was feeling vulnerable, after I gave him a compliment, he's praying scriptures. I don't know how many Hail Marys our Father should be in that order. But anyways, I said, here's what you need to do with somebody with a Protestant. He goes, what's that? And I go, you want to know something really funny about a Protestant? And he goes, what? I go, Protestants don't believe there's a father. There is no father. And he looked at me like I just said something about Mary. Went, what? I go, yeah, Protestants don't believe there's a father. Newsboys don't believe there's a father. They believe in God the Father. But listen to the rest of their songs. There is no father. That song, I'm convinced, it's just about an Apostles' Creed or something. It's not what they believe. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, they believe there is no father. Now, they wouldn't say it that way. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, they believe Jesus is the Father. He goes, ah! He's starting to laugh at me. How can Jesus be the Father? And he looked at me, Jesus is the Son. Mary is his mom. How can Jesus? That's ridiculous. And I go, so if you ever want to talk to him, he says, you know John 3:16? I primed his pump. He goes, yeah, I know that. I go, they don't believe that. God did not give his only Son. He goes, what do they believe? I said, well, you ever played a video game? And you got a figure that does whatever you want on screen? He goes, yeah, yeah, an avatar. But yeah, they believe that Jesus was Yahweh's avatar. It was him. It wasn't a man. It's not a mediator. When you see Jesus, you see God. And he was just kind of like, these guys are wacko. I go, that's all Protestants. I mean, for the most part. With few exceptions, probably Jehovah's Witnesses, Latter-day Saints. Anyways, he goes, this is ridiculous. He couldn't believe it. And so what do Protestants believe today? It's another Jesus. And so we can start off with Steph Curry's and Democrat Jesus. Well, don't believe Democrat. There's no Democrat Jesus. And you say, does the maker of the eye not see? You don't think he sees you how you vote? Does the maker of the ear not hear what you say when you're not in church about Donald Trump and those Christians that you want to plunder? Yeah, he hears. And they go, Democrat Jesus, but you. And so, let me see here.
So they believe Jesus is his own father. And you ask somebody, can a son be a father, his own father? No. That's what they believe. Can a father be his own son? That's ridiculous. Exactly. You talk to a Protestant, they're going to start coming back. Whoa, we got to come. That's the foundation. That's their foundation. And who built that foundation? Lo, an enemy hath done this. Because when Christians have a foundation like that, if you bring it up, guess what happens? Holy cow, Leaning Tower of Pisa, back off, you're in a cult. Attack. The whole building's going down. Makes no sense whatsoever. There is no father anymore. 2 Timothy 1:7, turn there, 2:18. For Yahweh, or God, hath not given us a spirit of cowardice. Other people will say a fear. If you look at the context, it's not fear. It's cowardice. Because you know what the context is? Timothy, it appears, is going to be caving. You feel like caving to your kids right now? Yeah? So did Timothy. We gotta keep everything together. And you know what Yahweh tells him? There's not a coward living inside you. If you're cowarding, it's not him. He's not the one telling you to cower. But it's a power, love, and what? Correction. Jesus is love. He never corrects anybody. No, he corrects a lot. It says Yahweh corrects the son of whom he loves, disciplines him. And if you read, if we look at this, you'd say, golly, he gives us a spirit not of cowardice. Over in chapter 4, verse 2, this is not done in the church. Convince, rebuke, encourage. You can't. And all this should be under the context, Philippians 2, esteeming others higher than yourself. How would you correct a superior? Not exalting yourself. He that exalts himself shall be humbled, he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So when you correct, you act as if you're Nathan going to David or something. Who is David? You're a pretty important person. And I believe Nathan would have done it in a very humble way. Because that's Yahweh's anointed. Anyways, with long suffering and teaching, for there will be a season when the healthful teaching they will not endure, and according to their own covetings will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear. And from the truth indeed that their ear will turn away, while unto stories they will turn themselves aside. Heaven's for real. Kenneth Hagin's been to hell. 30 seconds in hell, heaven. 30 minutes in heaven. All the rest of these things. That's what people want. You gotta give it to them. What do people want? Exodus chapter 20 is they want a God they can see. I remember buying a book. It was on Hebrew archaeology and stuff like this. I was so excited when I bought it because I liked archaeology. I liked learning stuff. And you know what the first pages it explained? The archaeology of the Hebrews is very different because they weren't supposed to make certain images because man had a tendency to worship images. So, there's not a whole lot to look at. We got some pots. I'm like, no, I want to see a Zeus statue. Not a Zeus, but you want a statue or something like that. And the Hebrews weren't supposed to make images. And so when Jesus Christ is your creator, and you've made an image of him, that is God. That is your God. Jesus is your God. You have an image right there in your house, and that's what you pray to. You're like, you're breaking the first and second command. Turn to John chapter 3. So like 2 Timothy is like right around 64 AD. This is not long after Paul. And I remember listening to a prophecy this morning before I went on a run. I listened to a prophecy from Tim, which was very tender when I heard his voice because he went to sleep. We'll see him again. And you know what his prophecy said? The adversary is stealing from you every single day of your life. Don't let it consume you. I'm thinking about sand washing away. We lost more sin. And they go, yeah, he's going to be stealing. He's going to be inserting seeds and this and the rest of that. With Jesus Christ, when they said, who hath done this? An enemy hath done this. They go, what should we do? He goes, don't stress out. We'll deal it. We'll sort it out at the end. And so when we look at doctrines of demons and doctrines of stuff like this, we shouldn't get stressed out. The adversary has been around for a long time. He was there with Moses and Aharon. He was there with Timothy. He was with another Jesus in the book of Galatians. I had another loved one say, why does your father write letters? I said, I don't know. Why does Yahweh write letters? Book of Galatia wasn't a happy letter. 2 Corinthians. Well, I don't know about 2 Corinthians. There's some tough stuff in there. Can you imagine somebody saying, deliver such a one unto Satan? Shit, that's not my Jesus. Jesus at the right hand, and Jesus penned that through Paul. Deliver somebody to Satan. Well, that's not how you get people together. Sometimes it's about calling things out. Sometimes there is no turning with somebody, and that person, you're the adversary. You got to go. Remember the Apostle Paul said you'll be blind for a season? Every once in a while, Yahweh's going to tell you, you got to play hardball with this one. Anyways, but don't stress out about it. That's about, now turn to John 3. What's the most, arguably the most famous scripture? John 3:16. Thank you, Tim Tebow. And you can ask somebody and say, my father's the one that pointed this out. For Jesus so loved the world, he gave himself.
Nope.
No? For God, who's God?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Gotta read the rest of the book, peeps. Gave his only begotten son. The word begotten's in there too. It's been removed out of your translations, not mine, because they don't like it. That those who should believe in him shall not perish, but have life age abiding. That's John 3:16. Now, what's really interesting about that, that's not news to you, right? But this will be. And things are getting ready to get very interesting. And so all of that stuff was built up to this. It makes me very excited. John chapter 3, verse 13. Here's Jesus Christ. And in my, I'm going to project some stuff. He's speaking prophetically of what's going on today. Verse 12. If the earthly things I told you and you believe not, how if I should tell you of heavenly things? Think about that. I want to know what heaven's like. Read your Bible. I'm not going to... That's your earthly thing right there. Can you read a Bible? How's he going to explain these things? I was listening to this missionary Moffat, and he said, normally when people tell me dreams, this great chief, there's a conversion, and there's a dream. And this missionary goes, before he goes into the dream, he says, and I'm like, this ought to be interesting. Dreams. I know people that want to interpret their dreams, they won't open their book. But he said, dreams are usually three sources. They're flesh, stress, Satan, the adversary, or from Yahweh, Jesus Christ. Rarely are they ever the latter. He says, I often find people that like dreams and encounters spend more time on those things, and if they would only spend that time in the scriptures, they'd have whatever answers they need. But they reject the world for the earthly things, and they go off in another place. Here's Jesus Christ. I can't even understand these things. 13, and no one hath ascended into heaven save he that out of the heaven descended, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everybody will know that Jesus is Yahweh.
Nope.
No? I lost my place. So where was I?
13.
That whosoever should believe in him may have life age abiding. For God, so Jesus Christ goes, I'll be lifted up as the serpent. Now listen, we're going to turn to Numbers chapter, turn to Numbers chapter 21. The serpent, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to be lifted up as the serpent was. What is this serpent? Numbers chapter 21. Page 180. I'll give page numbers to speed things up. Oh, you're good. Chapter 21. You're right. Chapter 21, 7-3. That's right. Okay. Then came the people of Israel to Moshe and said, we have sinned and that we spake against Yahweh, against thee. Pray unto Yahweh that he may take away the serpent. So if you see, Yahweh sends serpents because they're... Verse 5, so then the people spake against God, against Moses. Oh, it's not Yahweh, it's not God, it's just Moses guy. They didn't like Moses. But anyways, Yahweh sent serpents in there, and they're getting bitten, they're dying. And so Moses, let me see here. So Moses prayed for the people, and Yahweh said unto Moses, make thee a like serpent, and put it upon a standard, like a staff, and it shall come to pass that anyone who's bitten, as soon as he see it, shall live. Did the bronze heal anybody?
No.
No, but you do what I say, you'll be healed. And so this is on the back of every ambulance. You got the serpent on it. It's just, and they're going to say, well, actually, it has nothing to do with Moses. Of course not, because that'd be
That's what they're going to say. A serpent on a staff is when they got bit by the serpent, that poison, they had to look at this serpent, and whoever looked upon this serpent was going to be healed. And if they didn't look upon that serpent, what's going to happen? You're going to die. Jesus Christ was a type of that serpent. If you don't want to go through Jesus Christ, there's one mediator, and guess what? We would never reject Jesus Christ. You already have. The Jesus you have is not in the scriptures. You're worshiping another Jesus. The people we know, you're not talking to the Jesus you say you're talking to. No, I love Jesus. The Jesus that you're worshiping doesn't exist in the scriptures. I don't know who you're talking about. And so what we're going to find out is, okay, so Yahweh, they have to look upon the serpent, bronze serpent. How did they get healed? Because the bronze serpent was Moses or Yahweh?
No.
No, you don't make an image of Yahweh. This is what you got to do. Now turn, now, this is where I got mixed up. Chapter 2 Kings 401. Now this is where things get really interesting. And no matter what we have no excuse. Remember Dad doing a teaching on that, talking about, was your father Manasseh? Really? I mean, Manasseh? If you don't know who Manasseh is, you're going to go, was your Adolf Hitler? I mean, this guy was bad. He turned. But here's Hezekiah. And what did Hezekiah do is, man, he wrecked shop, and I guarantee you, maybe a third of his congregation were Democrats. If they had a Democrat party back then, they would have voted it. But what did he do? Here's what you're going to do. And he laid down the law, just like Donald Trump did. And that's what David did, too. They were Democrats back then, too. Covet thy neighbor's goods. I want to have sex with whatever I want. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Jesus Christ. But here it is. This is 700 years. Okay. Over 700 years after the bronze serpent has been erected. Who made the bronze serpent? Yahweh did through Moses. Who made it?
No.
Yahweh did.
Now, what chapter?
401. Okay. Chapter 18. Oh. And he removed the high places and break in pieces the pillars and cut down the sacred stem and beat in pieces the serpent of bronze that Moses has made, because until those days had the sons of Israel done what? Been burning incense. So what? They're into, you know what incense is? Prayers. They're praying to an image instead of Yahweh. They were to go through that image to Yahweh. But what did they do? Now they're praying to an image. Probably saying it is Yahweh. That is our creator, whatever it is. Yahweh is a jealous Elohim. Jesus Christ is jealous for his Father. They don't share. And these people were praying to an image. And what did Hezekiah do? He crushes it. Not my Father. The God who's going to save, this would have been Judah, doesn't like images, and he doesn't share his prayers with anybody, especially people praying to images. Jesus Christ said he was like a serpent put on top of a staff, right? Who do people pray to now? The bronze serpent. There's a bronze serpent Jesus today. They say that is Yahweh, and they're praying to an image. How did Yahweh feel about the serpent of brass? He crushed it. He doesn't share it. So the Jesus who they say that they're serving does not exist. It's not the same Jesus. And that's when we can go to people and go, which Jesus are you talking about? And it's easy to start off with the Steph Curry stuff. And you go, holy cow, you know, Jesus doesn't hang out with pedophiles, sodomites. No, of course not. Okay. Does he vote Democrat? Don't go that way. I'm going to lose friends. Bad company corrupt with good character. So we say Jesus today, he is the creator. What does the scriptures say? There's one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus. In the book of Acts, who does it say Jesus is? Jesus is a man. A man. Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the image of the invisible God. Today they say Jesus is in control. I talked to somebody, so when a little girl gets raped by her father, Jesus is an accessory?
because they're going to say Jesus is God. They're going to say Jesus loves abortion. Jesus loves sodomy. Jesus loves pedophilia. Jesus loves for you to steal from the rich, keep to the poor. And Jesus said what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's the Democrat Jesus. Blasphemy, right? Just look at it. It sounds very offensive with me saying it. What's more offensive is what's happening is not being addressed. Yeah. This God whom we say we're jealous for and His Son is at the right hand that we're afraid how we're going to be treated if we point out what's happening. Can you imagine a wife being cheated on and everybody knows about it and nobody's saying anything about it? Are you kidding me? And Yahweh goes, are you jealous for me? Really? A lot of these people, they're going, you can't say these things. You don't even know who he is. You've never even read the book. They want to blend in. They want to hang out with the gold calves. But it's the same thing. So in Jesus Christ, because I'll be exalted. What happened after that? The same thing that happened back then. So the good ones would be Galatians 3:2. Oh, Jesus has a God. And when I said it to this Catholic, he went, yeah, I guess you're right. Did it offend him? No. And then I showed him in Ephesians 1:3 and 1:17. He goes, of course he has a God. His dad's God. If you say that to a Protestant, they're going to rip their shirts. Because their Jesus that they've invented and their church fathers, who were not in scriptures, but were Greeks who couldn't read Hebrew, say that Jesus is the creator. They created a golden calf they've been worshiping since for 2,000 years. Well, in Hezekiah's time, they were worshiping a bronze serpent. So Jesus has, and so this Jesus, the Messiah, has a God. He is a man. He is a prophet. And if, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 178. And so I like to say, you're talking about the Democrat Jesus? The sodomite Jesus? The pedophile Jesus? No, I'm a Republican. Oh, you're talking about the bronze serpent Jesus. What's the bronze serpent Jesus? You've exalted him above his creator. And you're offering incense to this image. And I talk to some people and go, how can they pray to all these different images? Like these Catholics got all these things. And I go, it's easy to see that, isn't it? And they go, yeah. I go, let's talk about you. What do you mean? Is Jesus the creator? Yeah, you have an image of him. Can't have an image. It's breaking the second commandment. No images. Who made this image? Well, wait a minute. I like the pictures of Jesus. There's no problem with making a picture or an image of the Son of Man or the Son of God, Yahweh's Son, but not of Yahweh. Somebody read 15 verse 28. The Messiah of the Scriptures, Jesus or Yehoshua, verse 28. But whensoever have you put into subjection, this is Jesus, unto him, the all things, once he's done, this is after the 1,000-year millennium to my knowledge, then the Son himself also shall what? Be put into subjection unto him who put in subjection unto him the all things. That God, or Yahweh, may be all things in all. He's going to give it all back to his dad. And you go, that's the Jesus, the Messiah. Well, people aren't going to like you. Our job isn't supposed to be blending in. It's not supposed to be keeping people together. It's to help people. I'm going to turn to... So I was thinking about even with Steph Curry, it's that's the golden calf Jesus. What's the golden calf Jesus? Fornication, sodomy, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Jonathan Fletcher Jesus, the golden calf. Jesus didn't care how I vote. Really, he didn't care that you just robbed your neighbors and sodomy, and that's a golden calf Jesus. It's not in the scriptures. Or you can say the golden calf or the brass serpent. What's the brass serpent? That's a lot of good Protestants that are bowing down to something, and who are they praying to?
Jesus.
To Yahweh?
No.
Pray to Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Go to this scripture. The book. Can I pray to Jesus? Well, of course I can't read the paper. You don't pray to Jesus, you pray through Jesus. There's only one way through, and it's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to Yahweh, it was through Moses. And Jesus Christ is the diameter, or he's the mediator between us. But then you see here, Acts chapter 7:55. You know what's interesting? 7:55, when Stephen This isn't an actual quote. But when Stephen's stoned, what is he going to see? The glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. You know what's really interesting? Try to find a picture of Stephen looking at the glory and the image of Yahweh. You know what you're going to find? Mm-mm. Two images. Or three images. They're going to have an image of Yahweh. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, no, it's supposed to, it's the glory. It's going to be light and then Jesus standing. I'm like, man loves his images. I'm like, holy moly, I couldn't find it. Stephen did not see three gods. The Trinity. He didn't see two gods, which would be the Trinity too. An invisible God in two images. That'd be the dove and Jesus, God, the God-man, which is in the Scriptures. What did he see? He saw the glory of Yahweh because you can't make an image of him. But look at the artwork. Look at what Stephen saw. You know what they did? They made an image! They broke the second commandment. But he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand. Turn it to Psalm chapter 97. We'll wrap up there. It'd be 580. With my business, that I look at somebody that's going to run out of money. I was talking to Rachel about this. And here they are, I'm looking, going to go, what do you want me to do? I need this and this and that, I need that, and my husband died because this happened, I'm listening. And then I get off the phone, and I look, and I'm going to go, she's going to be broke. You can't do what she just did. I want to keep my job though, right? So what do I do? Just give her what she wants. Her husband just died. She wants to buy a new house. I call her back up because love your neighbors yourself. She's going to be broke. And I called her back up and I said, you can do anything you want with your life. Excuse me. You can do anything you want with your money. That was an intentional pun. But the question I have for you is when do you want to run out of money? Long pause. And she said, well, never. I said, you'll be out in 2 years. What? You think she was happy with me?
No.
She was very angry with me. I'm a widow. My husband just died. He went through chemo. Do you know what it's like? And nobody's telling me. I've been saving my whole life. And you're just saying, I need a house. I don't have anything. And I sat there and I'm going, she's going to fire me. But Jesus Christ will give me another one because I'm loving her the way Jesus Christ. I'm telling her what she needed to hear. I'll call you back. Click. And went, are you happy now? She called me back. She goes, I don't want to run out of money. And I go, then you can't take more than 5%. You can't. But she came back. But I've had other clients. You told them. I had one lady, when I first got into this business, she was as big as a balloon. And she was huge. And we're talking to her. And you know what she said? She said, you know what my doctor told me? He told me if I didn't stop eating donuts, he's going to cut my fingers off. And she started crying. Do you know why his doctor said that? Because she was a diabetic and she was going to lose her fingers. And after she got done crying, and I'm looking at this person who's destroying herself, the doctor lost a client. So I found another doctor. And go, who did the right thing? Yeah. The doctor who took her told her what you wanted, but with all this, give an account. What did you do? Psalm 97, verse 7. Actually, verse 6. Start there. The heavens have declared his righteousness, and all the people have seen his glory. The newsboys started saying when Jesus split the Red Sea from Moses. Michael Tate. You know, there is no Jesus in the first 4,000 years of existence. Didn't exist. Jesus did not split the Red Sea. His Father did. Blasphemy. You're going to make money off this. When Jesus split the Red Sea. Thankfully, nobody applauded. He's not even in the book. But it doesn't matter because most Christians don't even open it. The heavens declare his righteousness and the people have seen his glory. Not all the concert, I got to say, wasn't bad, but there's some things in there. I'm going to go, good luck, buddy. Oh, and then he quoted from the Message Bible. Verse 7. Would somebody else read this for me?
Let all who serve an image be ashamed. They who boast themselves in things of naught,
bow down unto him, all ye Elohim.
Yahweh says you should be ashamed of yourself. You're bowing down to any image. Well, should we bow down to Jesus Christ? Yeah, but it's an honor of who Jesus Christ represents, because Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, the man. And we are supposed to get down. We are supposed to bow down before Jesus Christ. But Jesus isn't my God. And I'm not saying that in front of Jesus and his God. And so Yahweh said you should be ashamed. So we should go to people to say, what's Jesus are we talking about? But a good way to talk to them, not in the build yourself up, is to say, what Jesus are you talking about? And I never even thought about it. It's a new concept with me. And you can start. Is it this Jesus? Is it that Jesus? And then you start going through the scriptures, and you get to see, holy moly, and then people go, man. I'm going to finish there. Father, we thank you for the truth sets us free, and that you say knowledge puffeth up. And I thank you that as you show us knowledge, that you help us stay humble, that the objective is not to exalt ourselves, but to exalt you by searching you out, because you are already exalted. You're already lifted up above anything we can imagine. The creator of the universe, who spoke everything into being, the Milky Way galaxy, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the sea animals, everything came out of your mouth. And you gave us your son, who is your representative, who is our mediator. You gave your only son for us. We thank you that when you give us knowledge, that we use it to help those. But we're also not ashamed of you in the gospel. And our fruit, let our fruit prove what we are ashamed of. Not that we use your knowledge to specifically divide things, but it's with a heart, a malleable, circumcised heart to help people and to set them free. Father, we thank you that we'll be like Moses, and if people leave, let them leave. And we'll be like Peter, who says, where will we go? In John 6:66. Father, we thank you for all these things and for these words. Do not be fearful what you're going to lose, because you're going to lose me. That's what you should fear. And when you turn to them, you're turning your back on me. And though nobody notices, because I am the invisible God, my heart breaks for you. And I wait for you to turn back to me when you need something. Is that how much you love me? That you're so concerned with what everybody else thinks that you will turn your back onto me? But no, in your own mind you say to yourself, I can look at both, I can have both. So did Aharon. There is no both with a God who is jealous. For I am jealous for my children, and I paid the price, the death of my son. And he paid that price to be with you. Now it's time for you to stand up and be proud of me. And know that I will give you everything you need, whether by the ravens of the air, or a rock will cleave together to bring you water, or honey, if you keep me first. And I'll exalt you, and I will lift you up. Forget about everybody else, and focus on me. I will make it worth your while, and I will lift you up and make everything better than you could ever imagine. And let all those that you turned your back on, because you had to face me, FYI, if they were looking the same direction, you wouldn't have your back to them. But let them see what I will do to those faithful ones, so that I can leave an image and I can tattoo in their heart to say, you had your example and you turned your back and you became a coward. Or they got corrected because of your example and they became like Timothy and they did not. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.